Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everybody. This is Sally Olcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, I am going to be interviewing, I believe it's for the third time, Jessica Plo. And I'm looking forward to this because she has made a video that has really gone viral, something that I have found a tremendous resource in trying to educate parents about what happens when you actually do vaccinate. And it's about shedding. Oh, hold on a second while I give her the correct number. Okay, call into this number instead. Okay. Oh, boy. You know, I'm so under the gun here that this is very last minute. She didn't even know if she could join me today. Oh, I have to find the number now. It's always an adventure with autism parents. Let me tell you, I have never had a smooth sailing show when it comes to interviewing autism parents, and I believe this is my 28th interview with autism parents. I just interviewed a lady who has three vaccine-injured children, one of them autistic, another one on the spectrum, and another child suffering other ailments. I'm telling you, three children in one family. I met a woman in the pizza parlor the other day, and she had four autistic grandchildren. She only has five grandchildren. Four of them are autistic. So if people don't start to wake up, I literally don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I can help them. I'm trying so hard to educate people. And Jessica Plo website is educateforTheInjured.org. The four is a digit, the digit numerical four, okay? So it's educate, the digit four, TheInjured.org. I believe I put it below the screen, so if you scroll down, you will see her website. But let me tell you what a resource this has been for me for quite some time now, too. She's waiting for her husband to get home so that she can do the interview. Last time I interviewed her, her child got out of the house. So that kind of, she wears several hats. Everybody who has vaccine-injured children has to be the consummate supermom. You can't just be a mom. You've got to be a super, ooper, schmooper, duper mom. And the stress that comes with this is tremendous. The fact that she has chosen, as have I, to spend our every waking hour trying to alert other people so that we can prevent these tragedies. I think she has done a spectacular job. She has looked through all the science and peer-reviewed articles, and this is what you will find on her site. You will find only things that have been published in the peer-reviewed scientific magazines so that you couldn't possibly try, if you wished to call it a conspiracy. Well, it is a conspiracy, but a conspiracy theory. We deal in conspiracy truth, conspiracy reality, conspiracy what the hell are they doing to our kids. So we have to wake up, and I mean yesterday. All right, Jessica, I hope your husband gets home soon. I am running for public office because I couldn't get any legislator at the local, state, or federal level to sponsor my legislation last year, Ban Vaccines 2013. So it's Vaccine Free 2014. It's the same exact bill. It says that vaccines are 100% poison. They cause all diseases in internal medicine, and the intention is to do this. So I'm running for New York State Assembly here in Queens. Please contact me. I'll put my page under this, so that you can send me a message if you will help me, because I don't need a lot of signatures, but if I get some help, you know. So I'm not going to, you know, we don't need to browbeat each other. We just need to be diligent, get it done, and I will sponsor this legislation. My friend Gigi Bowman is running for New York State Senate, so she can co-sponsor it. And believe you me, we're going to change things if we get in, believe me. We will certainly raise awareness in a tremendous way. People will be pouring out of their picking up the phone and calling their legislators, support this legislation, because Representative Posey and Representative Maloney, good eggs that they are, and I truly mean that, have sponsored a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study that's a bill. And, you know, I gave them the results of that from a German study I gave Posey when I went to visit him. And I've been sending my legislation since 2009 called All Vaccines Are Banned to Representative Maloney. And I, you know, I told them, they said they're having trouble getting co-sponsors. I said, be bold, and then we will help you. We already know the outcome of that study. It says that children who are vaccinated have between 2 and 5 times the diseases and chronic illnesses that unvaccinated children have. The last woman I just interviewed, she was a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. Her 3 oldest children were vaccinated, and they suffered all kinds of ailments, and her 2 youngest are not, and they're doing beautifully. However, they did get whooping cough from a child who was vaccinated for whooping cough, but they got over it through vitamin C because their immune system had not been compromised by vaccines. So today I am going to talk about shedding with Jessica, and we are going to discuss also the fact that the polio vaccine still possesses unspeakable contaminants. As I say, it's all 100% poison, but there are certain elements that everybody was to believe had been removed from the polio virus, which caused AIDS, I believe, and she's going to be explaining all of that when she comes on. But let's face it, if they compromise your immune system, there's nothing that you can't catch. There's nothing that you can recover from fully, because your immune system has been compromised. And that appears to be the purpose of vaccines, is to compromise your immune system to leave you completely open to every kind of illness and disease that exists. My dear friend, she's waiting for her husband to get home, and perhaps he's stuck in traffic, you know. One never knows, do one. But Jessica is a fountain of information, and I really am hoping that she does call it. So let me contact her now. Hi, Jessica. I miss you. Am on the air singing your praises. Well, why not sing her praises? I did an interview with Jessica. Oh, Lord, this is the saddest thing. Her child was assaulted by multiple vaccines at once. I remember gasping when I heard how many. I believe it was 9, and I don't know if it was 9 separate shots or 9 doses, but this child was seriously assaulted and has been very ill and changed her entire personality and her capabilities, and a regression into autism is a very, very sad situation. And I'm going to ask Jessica to be my second person to address young autism mothers, because the people who are walking this walk and have done so for some time have an immense store of knowledge. And if we can create a forum on Tuesday evenings at 6, then possibly we can, you know, help the young mothers understand what's happening, understand that what they're going through is typical, because I have to tell you, I have heard a multitude of scenarios. A lot of them have been just repeats of previous scenarios. So they have a lot in common. The adverse reactions are typical. And you know they're typical because it says it right on the insert to the vaccine, which you are never shown as a parent. No one ever shows you the insert. And, of course, we're taught to trust our doctors. In fact, I think they coined the term, your trusted physician. Oh, I guess I should be trusting him. You know, I mean, we have been manipulated and deceived, and of course the physicians, they deny any affiliation with the vaccine. I think it would be just beyond noble if one of them would say, I'm sorry. How about that? You know, everybody thinks in terms of lawsuits, and of course you can't sue them. They may as well say they're sorry, right? You're never going to see a dime from these people. They may as well apologize and stop doing it. That's the key. Stop doing it. We are all about prevention. And in fact, when my first banner, because I carry banners, was Billion Toddler March for Survival, which is my blog. Billion Toddler March for Survival. I'm so stressed waiting for Jessica that I'm not paying attention. Okay, let me see if she called in, because if she did, I don't want not to pick her up. Okay. Billion Toddler March for Survival.blogspot.com. That's my blog. I want you to look at it. I want you to scroll down to the 2013 version of it, January, I believe it is, 2013, because I just have so much information. Oh, my Lord. And I want you to look in particular at a category called Patients Required Information. This is going to rock your world. Every single thing in Patients Required Information is startling to the layperson, the person who has not yet gotten how sick this all is, what they're doing to people in general, let alone to children. And they're doing it much more to children. I must quote this since she hasn't called in quite yet. And that is that Dr. Boyd Haley said that one shot, one vaccine to a 6-pound infant is the equivalent of 30 shots to a 180-pound adult on the same day. Now, I want you to know that nationwide, we are administering 49 doses of vaccines through the age of 5. In New York, 59 doses through the age of 5. Imagine how many shots the equivalent would be to an adult. Imagine. That's startling. We could never absorb that, as the children cannot absorb. And it's 100% poison. So what are we doing to our children? Right. The pharmaceutical companies aren't liable. Oh, my friend called in. The doctors aren't liable, which means you're the only one liable, and Jessica can back me up on that.
Hi,
Jessica.
I sure can. Hi, Sally. How are you?
Oh, I'm so sorry for all the stress that this has caused you, and I'm so pleased that you joined me.
Oh, it's not a problem. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we have to talk about shedding. This video that says you'll never look at vaccinated children the same way again, you go through a myriad of scenarios by vaccine.
Yep.
Is there someone in the background?
No, I'm pretty much blocked off in my office right now, trying to get as much silence as I can.
Okay.
But
would you do me a favor? I have I watched the whole thing, and I thought maybe Jessica would talk about shedding per vaccine, the way you have it broken down in the movie.
Yeah, well, this is what I started realizing. When I was looking through my daughter's records, as usual, she got sick after all of her vaccines. But there was one set in particular to where we all got sick. And that was, of course, the 12-month set of vaccines that changed her for life. That set, she came home, ended up vomiting, kind of like The Exorcist. Well, I was pregnant. My husband ended up having to go to the ER because he was throwing up worse than her. And I had the nausea, and my other daughter had the nausea as well. So I was like, what is this? Is this contagious or whatnot? So I started looking through the scientific literature. I wanted to know, you know, had there been other cases of people getting sick from family members being vaccinated. And once I started to look all that stuff up, I mean, there is just so much information about siblings and even pregnant mothers getting viruses from their freshly vaccinated children and brothers and sisters. And you think, how is this? Wait a second, isn't it the unvaccinated who are walking petri dishes? You know, I was told that this week by a pharmatrol, but anyway, they always say that we're the ones who are spreading disease, but when you really think about it, you look through the literature, and then even in my own personal life, we all got sick. Nobody can deny that. Of course, how can you prove it? You know, that's the problem. But
reality is a good way to prove it.
Yeah, but there's plenty of proof to back up the fact that these vaccines do shed, not only to brothers and sisters, but perhaps immunocompromised grandparents, pregnant aunts, pregnant moms, and of course,
yes,
immunocompromised
thank you.
Children.
I just want to stop you right there because they're saying vaccinate your child to protect grandma. Which would be the polar opposite. Don't vaccinate your child. Don't get them sick, and don't hurt grandma.
I think they're just to the point to where they have to make up everything that they put in the news because, one, it's not us spreading the diseases. If you come into contact with a child that just was in daycare and was vaccinated for the chickenpox or for the measles, mumps, and rubella, you are exposed to that live virus. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. It is in their nose. It is in their saliva. It is in their diapers. You are spreading disease. Another thing that backs this up is they had released a study. I believe it was a fairly long study, 10 to 13 years. You may have seen it, but it was where well visits were linked to around 700,000 flu-like illnesses. So they were blaming all the doctors and the nurses about the toys being dirty or the waiting rooms being dirty. But how much did they study about these vaccine shedding and these kids coming in sick 2 and 3 days after their vaccines thrown up all over the place? What about those viruses? It seems like they completely ignore that they're injecting live pathogens into children, but those are not contagious pathogens. Those are magic pathogens, you know?
Well, we know that Lucija Tomljenovic's revelation, she waited 7 years through a Freedom of Information Act to say that they know the vaccines are causing the diseases they claim they are preventing. So we've got it in writing from them.
Yep. Wow, I didn't know that, but that doesn't surprise me either.
Oh, yes, this is the whole reason I tried to ban vaccines. I thought, that's it. I don't need it. I don't need to know one more horrible thing about them. The intent is to do this, and it's clear as a bell. And she had to get a judge's order to release that. I'll send you my legislation, which you are now on.
I would love to see that. That's very interesting, and you know I'll put that on Educate for the Injured as well. The evidence is very mounting. There's just so much information out there. It's like they have to look at every study that contradicts what they're saying or lying about. So they have to pay these scientists to debunk this other study, you know. And I'm just, you know, about to start just researching all these scientists and seeing what connections they have. I'm trying to work on a project right now where we're doing that, trying to get some help from everybody else as well. But it's a lot of research where you got to dig into these people's lives and see if there's anything online and see if there's any admitting that they have been paid for such and such by the NIH or the CDC. And I mean, it's difficult, but the information is out there, you know? So that's my current project, is to prove that all these studies that basically say that, you know, that study's wrong. Oh no, these children don't shed, because they have other studies, you know, published contradicting anything that you can find that shows that vaccine caused harm, because vaccines are the holy grail. That's my new current project. It's going to be a long time before I get it up there, but I am working on it. And I just want to, you know, show these people.
I want to review the project you've done because it's really quite remarkable. You're talking about each vaccine. You're talking about the period of time where people who get these vaccines do shed. You're talking about different vaccines shedding. They're covering up, changing the name of the illness that's spreading, even though it's caused by the vaccine, to cover up the fact that. So if you would give as much particular information as you can, because you've done all the research, you may as well share it.
Well, we know that one good thing is pertussis. Pertussis is very easy to explain. One, it's a bacteria. It's not a virus. Just because we're exposed to it once, twice, three times doesn't mean we're going to have, you know, lifelong immunity as a viral infection would do. So when you look at the pertussis studies, this isn't even a live vaccine. You know, it's not even on the live vaccine list, but it still is contributing to increases in whooping cough because it alters the child's immune system. So it's making them more vulnerable to parapertussis versus, you know, the other one. But my big
Jessica? Oh, dear. Well, let me contact her and ask her to call back in, although it may be too late to call back in. Oh, dear. Let me see what time it is. Oh, yes, she can still call back in. I will have her do that. Okay. Here we go. Call back in Jessica. Now, I will put her video directly under this interview because it's very important, as well as her latest article, which talks about the contaminated polio virus beyond just giving you polio that you can then spread to others. Beyond that, it has other contaminants, which they supposedly got rid of. But no. Call back in, Jessica. Okay. So she's been having problems with her Wi-Fi. And anyway, there are a myriad of vaccines that are known. One of them is the mumps vaccine. Over 90% of the people who have mumps have been vaccinated to prevent mumps. The whooping cough, or she says pertussis, or the DTaP, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, is causing whooping cough. I always say that wrong. And then you can spread it to other people. So everybody who is so concerned about unvaccinated children, it is the vaccinated children we must be concerned. Well, I am concerned that children are getting vaccinated, period. This is the whole purpose, to prevent that ever from happening to the child. But then it happens to everyone near the child. And nobody's, of course, they don't link the child's illness to the vaccine, which they literally gave to them when they inoculated them. And they don't naturally link the parents. Oh, good. Let me pick her right up. Hi, Jessica.
Sorry, that was the Wi-Fi. I'm glad I got the call back in. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't even worry about it, you know? So you were talking about the pertussis and the fact that, go ahead. Let me not cut you off.
Okay. The thing with the pertussis, once you get the pertussis vaccine, they claim that these children are protected from the severe symptoms like, you know, going blue, death, having to perform CPR, all that good stuff, which I personally know a good friend of mine who developed all these severe pertussis symptoms 2 weeks after the vaccine, but that's beside the point. The studies are saying that yes, these children are protected from severe pertussis. But then it goes on to state, these children still get colonized in the nasal in the nasal area. So they're still getting that infection because germs don't discriminate. Whether you're vaccinated or not, you're going to get infection if you touch a germ and you put it in your mouth. But not only were these vaccinated children not protected from infection, they didn't even clear their infections faster than the unvaccinated animals. And they readily transmitted pertussis to their families, to, you know, unvaccinated contacts, whether it was mom, grandma, you know, sibling, whatnot. So here they are. It makes absolutely no sense to me when they can publish a study. It's on the FDA's website as well, but that they say that you're protected from severe pertussis symptoms, but you're going to transmit pertussis to unvaccinated people. How is that protection?
I was reading the flu shot can be spread from someone who was vaccinated against it and then got it. That can be spread for up to 28 days.
Right. The flu mist is a live vaccine. You know, that's the one they squirt up the nose or whatnot. They had actually ended up giving my daughter's school this. They had had two clinics set up approximately 2 months apart. And by the second dose that they had given to all the children, she had picked it up and we had all gotten sick within literally 3 to 5 days. We were all sick with the flu.
Did they tell you they were going to do this at school?
Absolutely. I kept her out for 3 days and then the weekend. I thought the 5 days total would be as much as I could really, you know, throw a fit without throwing a fit, if that makes any sense, you know, because I knew that this was going to be around the entire school. I knew that all these children were going to get sick. But what ended up happening was they had a pregnant teacher that they were so worried about because she literally had 15 students absent in her class from the flu mist that they had given. So while I laugh at it, I mean, it's horrible that these children are getting sick, but here it is. The school is putting this pregnant teacher at risk because I don't know what kind of funding they get from doing these little clinics, but I know that they get something. But there she was.
These clinics, do they alert you that they're going to do this in advance? They do? Do they ask your permission?
They did alert us. They didn't really ask permission. They never ask for permission. They just tell you, look, we're going to give out free live virus vaccines to children, and here are the days. And I wrote them a nice little letter, and I sent them the studies proving that it didn't work. And I kept my daughter out of school for the 3 days and then the weekend. But come Monday, she went back. A couple of kids were missing in her class. But by the time Tuesday rolled around, Wednesday rolled around, Wednesday she was sick, then we were sick. We all knew what it was. There was, you know, not much you can do for a virus, let alone one that was purposely given.
Does your child have exemptions from vaccines, and do they not apply in school?
My child is exempt from vaccinations via a religious exemption.
Did they give one to her anyway?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
She picked it up from all the other children.
Got it.
Yeah, just think, as soon, just like the people in the military vaccinated with the vaccinia virus to protect them from smallpox, well, they found two men that had close contact and ended up transmitting the virus from the wound site. Whether the wound site came undone, the Band-Aid came undone, that injection site was an opening to the body, and it spread all over his body, and he spread it to somebody else. But it's just like the flu mist with children. As soon as, you know, my daughter's friend was vaccinated, she was contagious. It's up the nose. As soon as that little girl sneezes, as soon as she picks her nose, it's in the classroom. There's no hiding that. I mean, it's a live virus. So I kind of knew I was going going to have to help her get over being sick or whatnot. But it lasted about a week, and, you know, we're all still alive, and we have natural immunity because of it.
Well, all I can say is let's hear it for natural immunity, you know? Now, who did all this research? Did you do this all by yourself or with the help of Charlotte Brammer?
I have done all the information on shedding. Charlotte is a big help to me. But of course she lives in, I believe, Arkansas, and I'm in South Carolina. So, you know, she's got her own life. I've got my own life. As you can see, I wasn't even free by 6:40. I got three little girls. It's very difficult running after all three of them, trying to please them all. But my main thing is I did want to call in because, even with these children that are being vaccinated with the non-live viruses, the pertussis vaccine, these children are still transmitting disease to unvaccinated contacts, okay? And isn't that the whole point of the herd immunity theory? Isn't that the whole point of vaccinating 95% of the population is to stop the spread of this disease? Because if they can say that, you know, baboons vaccinated with the pertussis vaccine were protected from the severe pertussis symptoms, but not from infection. They didn't clear the infection faster. And not only that, they readily transmitted the infection to unvaccinated contacts. That right there, that one study alone should stop all mandated vaccines. There's no point.
Right. Good point.
There's no point. If you were not protecting...
Let's say you're living with a two-year-old, and what vaccines do they give children between 2 and 3 years old? Do you know?
The two-year-old vaccines, I believe, are the MMR, and I don't know, because my child never, after the 15 months, the one-year set, she got it 15 months. It was 3 weeks, 3 months late. I wanted to her to wait it out a while. She never got any more, so I'm not really familiar with the two-year vaccines at all. I always towards the CDC schedule. They're always changing it. They're always adding in a flu vaccine. And, you know, I've literally since I started this journey, I was at 38 doses, and now I think that the children with the annual flu vaccine receive 49. So the number is always changing. If anybody ever asked,
I saw that they just changed it again, that they added more polio and more chickenpox vaccines to the basic CDC schedule. Are you aware of this?
Oh, my. I'm not.
This is why I'm running for New York State Assembly. This is why I'm running. Every single time you turn around, they're adding more vaccines. This is not legislation.
And I know New York is the worst, too.
However, maybe we can stop it through legislation. You see? I will try to stop this any way I can. And we're not just talking about the New York City mandated additional flu shots, which I've been carrying on about like crazy for months. Surprise, surprise, they've added more polio shots and more chickenpox. Now, I would like you very much, right, if you would now, to talk about the article you just wrote in terms of the contamination beyond the polio virus of polio shot.
Well, I was actually doing a little bit of research. I kind of wanted to be prepared, make sure I had all my shedding information down. I was making a document about all the studies that I had, one after the other, and then I came across this new one. It was published this year. It's a brand new study. They were looking at tissue samples in vaccinated populations, and what they found was not only the rotavirus, they were initially studying the PCV contamination in the rotavirus, which comes from the pigs, but which they claim is harmless, but let me tell you something, that's not going in my child. I don't care what they say. But either way, when they were looking for this PCV inside the rotavirus vaccines, they accidentally found more. And what they found was called, I believe it was baboon endogenous virus, and it was kind of like a retrovirus. And if you know anything about retrovirus, AIDS is a retrovirus. for them to even claim that these contaminations aren't a serious threat, even just to humans alone, because, I mean, who knows if this stuff is contagious? Just like SV40, that ended up being contagious. You know, there are people that did not receive the 1960s polio vaccines, and they still have SV40. So,
now,
you know, what about this?
Is what causes cancer? What does SV40 cause?
SV40 has been found in human cancers. The big thing is they know for a fact that it causes cancer in rodents, but they deny the fact that it causes cancer in humans, even though they've found it in human tumors. So therefore, the CDC thought they could be very smart. They took down that page, you know, admitting that everything had happened. I guess to think that, okay, if you haven't seen it, you don't know, and we can erase what's happened. I got a screenshot, and anybody else who knows vaccinations and does this on a daily basis, they watch, you know, for the deleted things and all that good stuff. But I had gotten a screenshot, and I wrote about that last night. But anyway.
Wonderful. I don't know if you saw this from Vaccine News Daily. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying, please.
I'm fine. My husband just walked in the door. I'm just grateful that he's finally home.
Oh, you mean you've been doing this without even your husband there? Good for you.
Yeah, that's
I just told
it's okay. I got a lot of stuff against me. I'm on a Wi-Fi signal, and my three girls are playing in the bedroom, and I was just like crossing my fingers that one, my cell phone call wouldn't drop, and then two, the kids would be good. But this is very important, because with all these children going to school and all these mandated vaccines required before school, it's no wonder these children are getting so sick within the first 2 to 3 months of going to school. There's just so many things that are shedding. It's ridiculous. And for the fact that they ignore this over and over and over, no matter how many studies come out, is very disappointing. And like you said, they have the intent. So they're
right.
Going to keep producing studies that work for them and, you know, studies that, you know, contradict everything that, you know, the scientists that aren't paid say. But either way, this is a crime. They are spreading disease under the cover of public health. It's just so crazy.
I want to read this to you from Vaccine News Daily, which I subscribe to, and I recommended Dr. Crawley get it as well because it's the industry. And you have got to hear this. They tell you it's like a confession. It's really like a confession, except that they're denying everything. But it's so fascinating
right.
to see how
that's
they
usual.
They say the MMR doesn't cause autism. And it doesn't cause the MMR. I will post everything, and you will too, please. In the comment area underneath, if you scroll down under the radio, there's a comment area. Everything Jessica and
okay.
I are talking about, we are going to put the links to back up everything. But this is so incredible because they literally are going through each and every vaccine and denying every single known outcome. It's hilarious. For those of us in the know.
It doesn't surprise me. Like you said, they have the intent. They've stated it. Every study that I've read double talks itself. You know, they say it could pose a risk, and then they say, oh, it doesn't pose a risk. Let me tell you something. If you've got pig viruses coming through needles into our children, we've got a problem. If doctors do not see a problem with that, we have an even bigger problem. You could tell me hours worth of, you know, infectivity studies on how they can weaken this virus, and there's no way that this viral load can compare to wild type, you know, infection. But either way, there are every day children with immunocompromised systems, pregnant women, infant babies, days old, that are literally walking, you know, whether it's walking into a Walgreens, a Walmart, or a CVS, they're exposed to these viruses, and that in itself is a crime. There should be none of this. There should be no live virus vaccines at all. I know that, you know, they're trying to match the theory of, you know, prior infection. That's what they're trying to simulate, but they're never going to be able to duplicate what nature does, you know?
The
fact that they are infecting these children, like, you know, we took the polio vaccine, the live polio vaccine off the market because it was causing too much polio. But they're not admitting that the pertussis vaccine is causing too much pertussis, or the chickenpox is causing too much shingles, or the measles, mumps, and rubella may possibly be causing the measles outbreak. It makes no sense to me how they can sit there and say, oh, there were two children that were unvaccinated and they caused this whole thing. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't see how anybody even believes that.
Oh, I know. It's exactly. How stupid do you take us for? It just blows my mind. But they do. They take us for stupid because I spent a lot of time in, you know, on talking to parents and grandparents on the way to the playgrounds, and I have to tell you, the grandparents, the nannies, they are getting this full on, the grandparents, because they remember a time without vaccines, without autism, and the nannies because they've seen so much of it going from house to house, you know what I mean? They picked
right.
up on it. But the young parents are being scared out of it. My child might get measles. I'm like, yeah, big whoop, naturally acquired measles, way to go. And then she'll be prevented.
They've done
the
a very good job
life.
Fear-mongering.
And it will prevent certain forms of cancer if she gets the measles,
yep.
according to Dr. Scheibner. So all she's going to get is the measles and possibly natural prevention towards cancer. Or she could get, tell them, Jessica, tell them how wonderful autism is.
I'd rather not. There's no joy in autism, I'll tell you that 100%. Anybody online claiming that it's a gift from God, no, it's a curse from the devil. But I also believe that certain things happen to certain people. God knew I wouldn't shut up. But another point that you might want to look into is the fact that teachers have extremely high rates of cancer. These teachers are usually teachers for years and years and years, and they've been exposed to thousands of vaccinated children, whether it's the contaminations in the vaccines or it's the actual live modified vaccine virus. Either way, these teachers, I think, have the highest exposure compared to anybody. You know, they see child after child, year after year.
Now, in terms of when did this start? Because I know that they always, when did this start? Is this increasing along with the vaccination rate for children, this number of teachers who are dying of cancer?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the correlation, and I guarantee you there's not one study out there looking at the correlation. You know, they would never study something like that, but it was something I'd come across, all these news articles about how teachers have one of the highest rates of cancer, and I started thinking, well, we know that the millions of vaccines they mandate on children aren't even tested for, you know, carcinogenicity or mutagenic potential. So, of course, they wouldn't study teachers and why they're getting this cancer. They're going to look at, oh, well, maybe it's something in the air filter or, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But I see patterns, you know, and I like to look things up and research and, you know, have my own knowledge, you know, just to back up my medical decision for my child. But, it's something I would like to see them study.
I have to interrupt you at this point, Jessica, because we only have a minute left. You are with educate the injured.org. And this
yep.
is such a remarkable resource. If you do nothing else, read the stories of the children. This is paramount that you do that.
Yes.
Among them is
yes.
Jessica's children. Jessica, you give us the parting word and promise me you will do a Tuesday night for autism mothers and educate the newbies.
Absolutely. Sally, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I'm glad you had me on again. I'm glad we could fit it into everybody's schedule, and hopefully parents will do more research on this stuff because these viruses are contagious. They are infecting thousands of children.
and their families and anyone who comes near them.
Yep.
So, all right, dear, all the very best to you. We just want to say that vaccines don't only give the virus the disease that they're intended to prevent. They give so many other adverse reactions as well, including